There are buildings all across County Wexford with stories still waiting to be told. Homes that were once full of life, now standing empty. Shopfronts with potential sitting idle above them. Farmhouses that have seen generations come and go. But in recent years, something has started to change. Across the county, people are taking on these properties, restoring them, reimagining them, and in many cases, completely transforming them. This is Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes, a new podcast series produced by Wexford County Council in conjunction with South East Radio. In this series, we'll meet the people behind these projects, hear the challenges, the setbacks, the unexpected moments, and what it really takes to bring a property back to life. And along the way, we'll also hear how supports like the Vacant Property Refurbishment Grant are helping to make it possible. This special podcast series aims to shine a light on the growing number of vacant and derelict properties being brought back to life across County Wexford, and to raise awareness of the grants and supports available to help people do it. Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes shows the realities behind restoration projects while helping listeners understand how schemes like the Vacant Property Refurbishment Grant, structural top-ups and over-the-shop supports can make these projects possible. If you've ever driven through a town and spotted a building and thought, I'd love to do something with that, this story might just stay with you. Aileen O'Neill and Aaron Deegan did exactly that. Their property in New Ross wasn't just vacant, it needed serious work, the kind of project most people would walk away from. But they didn't. Their journey has already caught national attention, featuring on RTÉ's Great House Revival. But what you don't always see is the reality behind the scenes, the decisions, the doubts, and the determination it takes to see something like this through. This is their story.
Take us back, I suppose, to the moment that you first saw the house and why you decided to kind of go for it. What made you think we're actually going to take this on?
Well, we had started to view properties. We went to view one that was completely unrealistic. And at that viewing, the auctioneer or the agent, selling agent, said that there was another one on the market that she felt would suit us better. Actually, it was going on the market. It was being cleared out that day that I went to view this property. Aaron was working, so I just went myself. So she told me where it was and that I arranged a view, and this was the house. And I came to see it and like fell in love with the place. It was just everything. Like, I knew the house. I grew up around the corner and arranged a second viewing with Aaron. I took a video the first day, didn't I?
Yeah.
Kind of talking through the rooms and everything, and it just felt like home. Mm. It just, everything. We'd always wanted a fixer-upper house, and that's what we'd imagined for ourselves over the years, kind of saving and stuff. And we put a bid on this place, and the kind of wheels were set in motion and stuff. So
it happened pretty quickly after.
Yeah.
Great, brilliant. And at what point then did you realise grants like the Vacant Property Refurbishment Grant could make this possible, and how big of a difference that makes? So did you know anything about the grants before? And obviously you wanted to do a doer upper, upper. Did you have an inkling of anything?
We had a small kind of idea of that there was some sort of grants available, but we didn't know the kind of the scale of what was involved, you know, to meet the criteria or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was, there was a lot of research looking into that to see, you know, say, was the house eligible for it? Because if it wasn't, really, there was no point in buying the house.
Yeah.
The grant was really needed 100% to get us over, you know, to get us over the line, because it is, like, it's a massive amount of money that's there to get, like, but it's just, it is this, it's the criteria that we had to look into, the what kind of, all the check notes, it's the checklist that they give you, and is everything nuts.
We didn't know if we'd meet the criteria. Yeah. We didn't know what was expected. But we always wanted a house to do up. Mm-hmm. But this, once we heard about the grant that was available, the Vacant Property Grant, that really encouraged us to try to find somewhere. And once we did a bit of research, that we did fit the criteria for it. And that was...
So am I right in saying this property was vacant for 2 years or more?
Yes.
How long was it vacant for?
Just barely over 2 years.
Okay.
It became vacant in June 2021, and then obviously it didn't go on the market for a while, so then we bought it in 2024 in February. Yeah. So it was just over the 2 years we were lucky.
And am I right in saying that if that grant wasn't available, it might have meant that you wouldn't be able to do something like this now? Might have had to have waited a couple of years before you saved all that money. And how long did it take to save that much money? Would you say that that was the case?
Absolutely. Yeah. We wouldn't have done this without that grant. Yeah. And that was the selling point.
Yeah. People saw your journey on the Great House Revival. So how different was the real day-to-day experience behind the scenes?
It was an amazing journey. We just finished filming in March. Yeah. So we were right down to the wire because of Hugh's passing. We weren't due to finish maybe till end of summer. But because he passed away, RTÉ really wanted to kind of finish it. So we finished with 5 weeks to spare, like, for until it went to air. But then we started in December 24. So it was a year of filming. And at the beginning, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really enjoyable. We were all gung-ho for the whole thing. Hugh advised us a lot, like, on things. So we had to kind of take on a lot of the work ourselves, which we hadn't planned at the start. Okay. But I'm so glad we did.
We were very naive, I think, going in at the start.
We were so naive. So it was a lot more stressful than we thought, and the money the money did start to dwindle, like, didn't it?
Very quickly.
Very quickly.
But what kind of obstacles have you faced? What are the big things that you didn't necessarily think would happen, and how have you overcome them?
It's just the fact it's an old building. Like, it's the old saying is, you don't know until you go poking at stuff. So what's the condition of the house like in behind what you see? Yeah. It's kind of when we took up the floorboards on the ground floor here, the old floor was literally just put on clay.
There was nothing there.
Yeah. So that had to be taken up and foundations had to be put in.
So it would have been dug really, really low down. When we came in, we were like little minuscule people looking up at the ceiling. It was unreal.
14-foot ceilings, it was that. Then there was the lintels over the windows. A good few of them had dry rot in them and wood worms, so they had to be replaced. But, you know, again, you just don't see it.
But that, kind of hard as that was to hear that we had to replace the lintels, that did put us under the derelict property grant then. And we applied for that and we got the extra top up. Mm-hmm. So that was a blessing in disguise as well, even though obviously the lads had to come in and replace them. We didn't do them ourselves. Mm-hmm. I would have treated other ones that weren't rotted. Yeah, so that was a blessing in disguise in a way, because we needed that extra money. Yeah. The more we started ripping this place apart, the more we saw what extra cost it was. So we would have had to, like, obviously redo the floor. There was a wall in the hall then that this was here, standing on nothing. Yeah. Like, so that had to be reinforced. One of the trades, like, would have probably slowed things down for us and kind of put the plan out of kilter a bit. So that was something we would have dealt with more in the later stage of the renovation. Everything was going really smoothly and we did feel lucky as well, and we're really, you know, just enjoying the experience. Yeah. And then that kind of threw us a bit, and we kind of had to accept that deadlines weren't going to be met and everything was fine, like, in the end, you know. But it was very stressful. There was a lot of sleepless nights and early mornings because you couldn't sleep and you just get up and just try and do something and things like that. So yeah,
for anyone listening then that might be thinking about applying, what was the grant process then actually like in reality?
We had our first inspection. He came out and he was, you know, more than helpful in his knowledge of, you know, what's needed and having a look at the house. And he wasn't even past the hall, and he just said, you know, said, whatever you need here, I said, you're going to get it. There's no issues there. He said, you know, this house is more than capable of, you know, of a full grant. So that was kind of good to hear. Mm. Within the first, 20 seconds out of meeting him. Yeah, like, when you see it first, I think all the paper can be a bit daunting. Mm. All the different kind of sections and criteria that has to be met for each, you know, say, contractor, or there's flooring or finishes or water services, all that type of thing. So it can be a little bit daunting if you're kind of not used to it.
Yeah.
You do have to be kind of a little bit clerical maybe in keeping receipts. You have to be kind of, you know, mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, at first with the application, no receipts. Like, we're just...
Yeah, just an inspection.
Yeah, an inspection, and then we fill out the paperwork. Squires and...
Invoices.
Not invoices. Sorry. Because we're...
Expenses.
What? Quotation. Yes, thank you. A quote. So we're only putting in quotes first.
Okay.
Because when we apply... We're just handing in quotes. Yeah, so their initial quote, because obviously that changed, especially with our builder.
I totally forgot that.
When you break it down, it is actually pretty straightforward, but it is daunting at the beginning. Mm. And we did speak to someone who had gone through the process, and it was just someone over the street we'd met through Instagram. Mm. And they're a really lovely couple who had gone through the process. So they came over and helped us, just gave us a little guideline. Like, it was just a few things they'd said that really put us at ease and pointed us in the right direction. Speaking to someone that has been, if the paperwork is back in front of them, like, we showed Dom the paperwork, so he was able to kind of guide us if we were stuck on a question. I can't think of questions right now, but, you know, he was just so helpful. Yeah. And there is groups on Facebook, like the Vacant Property Grant groups. So... we got through it, thank God. We just kept, and I have to say, like, the grants officers were so helpful. Like, if there was anything missing, they'd just come back, and they'd just come back with a question, and then the more you submit, if you're missing anything, they'll tell you.
It was quick, actually. We sent in our paperwork, say, whatever, just say it was a Monday, and we're saying, oh, whatever, we received it, we'll get back to you in a couple of weeks or next month, whatever. I think it was on a Wednesday. It was only 2 days later I got a call to say that he was in town, he was in the Ross, was there anyone there in the next 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of did progress really quickly. They were very helpful in that. And and then it was only, he said, he was back in the office the following week or 2 weeks later, he'll get the paperwork, you know, he'll say, whatever way you want to look at it, said, you're going to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the following day where he got the email back to us just to say, you know, your grant has been approved, he gave us our grant number, all that, so... just keep the receipt.
Just keep the receipts. And really, I as well, if you can have them on a file on your computer, because realistically, it was easier to email the receipts rather than we physically have receipts, but you kind of do have to email them in.
My last question was, what one piece of advice would you give? But would you say that would be your one piece of advice?
I kind of would say do your research, because it does seem to vary from county council. Because of the Facebook groups, I have seen people that have spent money, say, on a kitchen, and they bought it off, you know, they bought it in, say, Facebook Marketplace, and they've said they've submitted their, say, a bank statement of the payment they gave the person, and they've submitted the ad for the kitchen or whatever they bought, and then the county council said that they accepted it, whereas other county councils don't accept that.
Because they want a tax clearance cert.
If you're going to buy second-hand stuff, definitely check with your county council first before you make that decision.
My advice would be do not get scared when you see the paperwork. There's more people than you think that wouldn't actually apply for the grant because it's too much paperwork, and like the money is there to get if you're doing this.
But it's just like they're there to help you
at the start. Like, people were like, oh, they're just doing it because they got the grant or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, we are doing it because the grant is there, but we're spending an awful lot more to avail of this grant. Like, take it. It's worth it. It's totally worth it. And if you just keep your head down for a couple of months and get that paperwork in, do it, basically.
Yeah.
There was an information morning in the county council. I saw it on Facebook, and it was happening within like 10 minutes of the time. And I just ran over any information, evenings or mornings, like, go to them, because, you know, it's really informative as well.
Yeah.
Projects like this don't happen in isolation. Behind many of these restorations are grants, supports and guidance designed to help people take that first step. So, to understand how these schemes work in practice and the impact they're having across County Wexford, we spoke to Mick McCormack, Tom Bates and Tom Banville from Wexford County Council. So let's start with you, Mick, then. From your perspective, how big is the issue of vacant and derelict properties in County Wexford right now? Can you give us a sense of the scale in terms of numbers or trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, thanks, Bronagh. Yeah, like most counties, there's way more vacant or derelict properties than we'd like. Any property that's vacant is a house that's not achieving its productive use and helping with the housing crisis. So, but I suppose just to give a sense of statistics, on the GeoDirect survey, quarter four, Wexford had a vacancy rate of 2.8%, which is the ninth lowest out of 26 counties and well below the national average of 3.7%. And on the last CSO data, 23, which is extracted from ESB usage, it states that there's 2,624 vacant homes in Wexford. So an estimate, that's back in 23, so we'd estimate now that there's just over 2,000 vacant homes in Wexford. That's true, I suppose, the various studies and also using our own data and our own surveys. Relation to commercial vacancy, Wexford is doing very well, I suppose, in terms of national trends. On the quarter four 25 CSO data, it's at 10.9% against the national average of 14.6%. So it's the second lowest in the country. Now, New Ross Town is an outlier on that, but in terms of a county, we do very well in terms of commercial vacancy. So with the renewed success then of the Croí Cónaithe grant, we expect those figures, and they have reduced, and we expect them to reduce further as the grant rolls out and the new schemes start to gain momentum.
The vacant property refurbishment grant then, that's become a key tool in tackling this. So how many applications or approvals have you seen so far? And what does that tell you then about the level of interest from people?
Yeah, it's been a massive success, Brona, for County Wexford. We've received over 623 applications to date. We've approved 463 to a value of 26.5 million and paid out 205 grants to a value of 11.5 million. So it's a huge impact, and it's having a massive effect on addressing vacancy and dereliction throughout the county.
And then, Tom, so for anyone listening then who might be considering a project like this, can you clearly explain what the grant offers, including the structural top-up and the typical level of funding that people can expect?
The ordinary vacant property refurbishment grant entitles people to a grant of up to 50,000, but for that, the property would have to be vacant for 2 years. I suppose that's the principal requirement, and they would have to own the property, and there is other things as well, that criteria that are things that they would have to send in with their application form to be approved on that. If the property is on the derelict sites register, it automatically qualifies them for the extra 20,000 top up. But if it's not on the derelict sites register, it can still be availed of by producing a report, a structural report from either a building surveyor or a structural engineer. So once they have that in place, that will qualify the property for the extra 20,000 top up.
Looking at the bigger picture then, Mick, what impact is this scheme having on towns like New Ross, which you mentioned earlier? Are you starting to see measurable changes in terms of homes being brought back into use?
Absolutely, Ronnie. Yeah, and it's having a transformational effect, really. Like, the likes of New Ross, combined with the many public realm and regeneration improvements, along with the impact of URDF Round 3, this scheme is having a huge impact. And it's all about increase in town centre living, which increases vibrancy around the town, creates footfall, opportunities for retails, and helps create communities within town centres, which fosters further development and vibrancy. So that's what we're trying to achieve. It's bringing life and back into, I suppose, in relation to towns, creating that vibrancy back into the heart of towns and villages. And then again, the grant is also available for rural communities.
So are there any new supports, updates or changes to the grant that people should be aware of this year?
So the existing vacant property refurbishment grant, it remains the same, but they have brought in new grants as of early April. The biggest one of those would have been the new vacant above the shop grant. But as well as that, there is a grant there now for former commercial or public use buildings. Along with that, people who are applying for the latter two grants that I mentioned there, there is an option for those people to claim for another €5,000 for an expert advice grant. But that's only available to the latter two. It's not available to the original vacant property refurbishment grant. Things are changing, but to the initial vacant property refurbishment grant, there hasn't been any change.
Over to Tom Bamble now. So Tom, in this episode we're looking at over the shop living and town centre regeneration. What opportunities do you think exist in those floors that have been lying empty for years?
There's no doubt about it. There's massive untapped potential here in above the shop living. I personally believe in terms of the future for towns and villages, it's for places for people to live in as well as commercial activity. I mean, towns at the moment tend to be commercial activities and very few people living in the towns. Again, referring back to the Housing for All strategy, there's a big push there on trying to make town centres places for people to live as well as work, as well as commercial activity. You know, in a planning perspective, we call these mixed zones. So they're kind of mixed zones where you would have people living, working, recreation and so on. So there's education and so on. So I think there's massive potential there for above the shop living or town centre living to really grow in the next number of years. And with that, there's a number of grants that are available. I know my colleague Mick has talked about the various grants that are available. There's up to 140,000 now available for a property owner to bring back up to 3 units within an above the shop apartments back into residential, back as homes. And I think this is really, and I'd like to see towns and villages really becoming places where people not only work or come in for commercial activity, but to actually where they actually live as well. So I think there's massive potential here for this, and I think we'd like to see this kind of grow over the next number of years and become a real focus, I suppose, of towns being places where people live as well as work and play and educate and so on. So yeah, I think just massive potential, untapped potential. I mean, any town you go to in the county or even around the country, you'll see lots of untapped space above commercial premises that's being used for storage or probably not even used at all. Yeah, massive untapped potential.
Look, it's a great opportunity. We've seen it in all our towns now. Wexford, Enniscorthy, Gorey, there's probably streets that have vacant property above the shop fronts. And in time of a housing crisis, that's a shame, really. So this grant, this new grant, which is the most incentivised of all of the grants, is above the shop. Retain your commercial element and go up. So it's 95,000 for one unit, 115 for two, and 135 for three units above the shop. So you retain your shoe shop or whatever it is, and you have your residential above it. Again, creating town vibrancy, creating town centre living, and utilising the vacant or the unused or space that is there right through all our towns. Now, Buntrodi is probably an example, maybe an exemplar in terms of town centre living. Obviously, the mall area is very well, you know, there's great commercial vibrancy in it. But they've also used above the shop in towns like Buntrodi. And this grant promotes over the shop living, very well incentivised. And it's something we'd love to see, throughout the Wexford town.
Figures show, Mick, that €27 million has been allocated for these grants in Wexford, but only about €11 million has been drawn so far. Is that right? And why is there that gap, and what needs to happen to get more people accessing the funding?
Yeah, no, they are the figures, Ronnie. Yeah. The 27 million is what's been approved. So just 463 people have started the process. They've been approved for funding. So they've started and they have their 12 months. And again, we'll work with them on that if they need extensions. So they're in the process, approved, ready to go, and will happen. 205 have finished the work. So they've got the initial approval. Mm-hmm. They've spent their 12 months, 13, 16 months getting the job done. And we've paid out to 205 clients to the value of 11 million. Mm-hmm. So that other 16 million is going to come down. When they've finished, we'll send out an inspector to inspect the works and they'll be paid then. So it's a huge investment in vacancy and dereliction in County Wexford. There's no grant from CAP from the government. It's under Minister James Brown's department and they're pushing it strongly. It's going to be here until 2030. That's the deadline, I suppose, nationally that's been set. And the government are very committed to the programme. Wexford County Council are committed to promoting the grant, and it's through work with South East Radio on this podcast gives us an opportunity to kind of, you know, to promote it further and to give people, you know, information and to help them along. And as Tom outlined, we're here to help everyone with the grant application process. We have a very helpful team, and you know, we're at the end of a phone or we're at the end of an email. So it's a huge opportunity to address vacancy and dereliction within the county.
Aileen and Aaron's story shows what can happen when determination meets opportunity, even when the road is far from straightforward. Next time, we head to Featherton-Sea, where Jerry and Amanda O'Sullivan take a very different approach to restoration, choosing traditional methods, preserving history, and discovering that bringing an old home back to life can become something deeply personal. That's next time on Back to Life, County Wexford, Stories of Derelict Homes. For more information on the grants and supports available, check out www.wexfordcoco.ie.